Chapter 42.
Listen, I would take a whisper if that's all you had to give. But is it, you could come and save me and try to chase it crazy right out of my head.
John and Obi-Wan were both fast asleep in John's bed. Mace closed the door most of the way, but left it cracked for his own peace of mind. Neither of their bonds were as shielded as they usually were, as if even in sleep the Padawans wanted to be aware of the Master's presences. As always, the trust was humbling. Mace made his way to the kitchen table and slumped down with a sigh. Plo was waiting for him, looking equally exhausted. Despite the intense turmoil of the past few hours, it was actually not that late into the evening. On a normal day, Mace would be up for another hour at least. Today, he felt like he could sleep immediately for a week. He hadn't been expecting Kuro's boldness to come to the temple and attack two Padawans. Quite frankly, Mace had never even considered that she would come back for John. After throwing him away, like something so inconsequential, why would she? He recalled, all too vividly, John's first introduction to the temple. His Padawan had been so small, standing in front of the council. Months later, he'd been just as small, just as scared, at the healers with his scars laid bare. But slowly, that shy, frightened child was being overwritten with the current John. The brave child that had stood up to his abuser, that had leaned into Mace's touch as he redid his Padawan braid, that had hugged him. John had come so far, and Mace was so proud of him. "You look like you're having heavy thoughts, my friend," Plo said. He slid a cup of tea over to Mace. Once more, Mace found himself surprisingly grateful to be sharing quarters with another master. At heart, most Jedi were social creatures by nature of being empaths. They were raised communally and frequently stayed tightly bonded with their creche mates and then their lineage. Mace was no exception, and it had been lonely without Deppa. Cohabitation with Plo, Obi-Wan, and John was pleasant. He wasn't sure how he would ever go back to how things had been before. Maybe the temple never would, this change permanent and important. "Not heavy so much as momentous," Mace said, after taking a long sip of tea. "Shall we meditate?" Plo asked, tusks twitching in a way that was almost teasing. Mace sighed. He felt like a Padawan, wrinkling his nose at Master Tara's insistence on meditating yet again. "If we must." Settled on a cushion across from the Keldor, they sank into a joint meditation. Mace shared his complicated knot of feelings with his friend, showing the pride, the fear, the sorrow, and, most tangled of all, the anger. Mace had rarely felt as angry as he had when he'd caught sight of Dark Woman bearing down on John, aiming to add yet another hurt to Mace's sorely damaged Padawan. He also shared a bit of the headache that John's final speech had generated. The Shatterpoint had not been as large as some of his Padawan's others, but it had certainly twinged. In turn, Plo shared his own emotions. There was a great deal of righteous anger and protectiveness, more than one would expect of the Master unless they were in his circle of friends. Plo was a fiercely protective being, one who had honed that protectiveness to such a point as to be able to use the emerald lightning of his home planet. His friend also shared his joy and pride at the way John and Obi-Wan had fought, both for each other and for John's place in the temple. And, of course, his fear and worry that the two would be hurt. Together, they released their emotions to the Force. They were buoyed away gently, like fragile flowers carried on a river, fragile and cared for. When Mace opened his eyes, he was more exhausted, but also more settled. Plo watched him calmly. "A year ago, could you ever imagine we would be here, my friend?" Mace shook his head. "No, but I am immeasurably pleased that this is where we ended up. A skilled and patient master he needs," Yoda told us in that first meeting. "And he certainly found one," Plo said, mischief dancing around him in the Force. Mace groaned. I'm not nearly drunk enough to be grateful to that old troll. Plo laughed. Heart light, Mace joined him. Yes, sometimes. Yoda was not entirely misguided. Not that Mace would ever admit it. And then, Quinlan said, gesturing broadly. Obi-Wan looked Nightcrawl straight in the eye and told him, I really must go, I need to water my oven. John laughed so hard that he snorted a bit of juice up his nose. Obi-Wan groaned and flopped onto his back. He stared up at the glass ceiling that encased the room of a thousand fountains far above them, feeling utterly beleaguered and ganged up on. Nightcrawl is intimidating, all right? I panicked. Him getting caught up in the prank was entirely unintentional. Meh, Quinlan said. Obi-Wan didn't need to look up to hear the shrug. He's kind of a jerk. A little bit of glitter probably lightened him up. John was still laughing. Obi-Wan draped an arm over his face to hide his reluctant smile. You didn't see the absolute glare he leveled at me, Obi-Wan said. I'm pretty sure he hates me, and we made an enemy for life. Hate, the way to the dark side is, Quinlan intoned solemnly. I'm pretty sure the axiom starts with fear, actually, Garen said helpfully. Obi-Wan rolled his eyes and pushed himself back up to sitting. Well, if Nightcrawl falls, it's officially Quinlan's fault, and I accept no responsibility. The Kiffar tilted his head, deep in thought. Yeah, okay, that's fair. I was the one who calculated the trajectories that time. Bant rolled her eyes. That was your first mistake. Quinn is terrible at math. She glared at Obi-Wan and John, who was still stifling his giggles. Now stop laughing, John, and finish your lunch. Bant's tone meant that she was not to be disobeyed. John immediately straightened and grabbed his fork to spear a tuber. His first bite was only a little sulky. Bant transferred her glare to Obi-Wan next. He didn't wait for whatever dire threat she was sure to utter. He snatched up a tuber with his bare hand and tossed it into his mouth. Bant looked satisfied. How come you never nag at me to eat? Quinlan complained half-heartedly. Because you're a bottomless pit, and the only reason you wouldn't be eating is if you were unconscious, Ciri said sweetly. That set them all off again. Even Quinlan, when he could no longer keep up his mask of offense. Obi-Wan continued to pick at his meal as the conversation moved on. John did the same next to him, his leg pressed firmly to Obi-Wan's. Rather than listen to the chatter, Obi-Wan left it as background noise as he studied his friend. By contrast, John was focused on the conversation. His eyes darted back and forth each time a new person spoke, and he occasionally butted in. When he wasn't speaking, a small smile rested on his face. In the glow of the gardens, John looked young and happy. Obi-Wan had been worried that the confrontation with Dark Woman would set him back. John had done so much work opening up and trusting their masters and the temple. With his old master as a new threat, Obi-Wan had been sure that there would be consequences. Instead, tension that had been so intrinsic to who his friend was as a person had finally dissipated. John was freer, more open to everyone, not just Obi-Wan. He was still quiet at times, and was still afraid to show weakness to the world at large. He still flinched from Mace and Plo on bad days, but John felt truly safe here now, in a way Obi-Wan hadn't been sure he ever would. And Obi-Wan? It meant something, that they had both been so sure of Mace and Plo's support in their battle with Dark Woman. There hadn't been a doubt in Obi-Wan's mind that the two masters would show up. A year ago, with Master Jin either ignoring him or rejecting him at every turn, Obi-Wan would have never trusted an adult to show up and protect him. And it was no longer just Plo and Mace. The next day, they'd had a veritable sea of visitors. From Deppa to Tyvaka to Tra and even Dooku, it felt like the entire temple wanted to check in and ensure they were all right. Obi-Wan felt truly seen, truly wanted, for the first time since things had soured in the crash. More than that, he could actively see the temple making changes. There was a greater degree of accountability now, in the Council of Reassignment, and for all Master Padawan pairs. Most relationships were healthy, but Obi-Wan had heard through the gossip mill that several pairs had been referred to the Mind Healers and grounded from missions for the time being. Due to the frequent incomplete briefings Obi-Wan and other Jedi had received from the Senate, there was a great deal more skepticism and fact-checking of information provided by the Republic, something Master Dooku had repeatedly expressed his pleasure at in their afternoon teas. There had even been talk of increasing the age limits on Padawan eligibility. Though, from Mace and Plo's frequent frustration at late meal, those discussions were yet to bear fruit. For what felt like the first time in years, Obi-Wan had hope. Something told him that they were on a better path. Not just the temple, but the whole galaxy. John nudged him with the Force. "You all right?" he asked under his breath. Obi-Wan smiled, wide and genuine. "Yes, better than all right, in fact." John looked at him strangely, but didn't question it. "Well, Quinlan just said you were the one to eat the last of Reef's Mooja Tarts that one time, so you might not be all right for long." Obi-Wan went straight from profoundly content to completely outraged in 1 second flat. He said, "What? That filthy liar!" When he looked back at his crushmates, Reef was sporting his absolute killer sad face. It was something of a trademark. If Siri and Quinn couldn't get them out of a situation with sheer chaos, and if Obi-Wan and Garen couldn't bluff their way out, Reef was almost guaranteed to be the perfect cover with his absolutely tragic Tuka eyes. He'd used the strategy on Yoda of all beings, and succeeded. Quinlan looked smug. Obi-Wan wasn't about to let that stand. "You're going to regret that lie, Quinlan Vos," Obi-Wan said. He rose to his feet, and Quinlan had enough shreds of his intelligence left to pale. "Wait a second. This means war," Obi-Wan declared. With a control honed from extensive spars with John, Obi-Wan wrapped the Force around Quinlan and bodily flung him into the nearby pond. His shriek was music to Obi-Wan's ears. John stood at his elbow. "I'll gladly fight this battle alongside you," John said solemnly. "I'd expect nothing less," Obi-Wan told him. Based on previous skirmishes, Siri would likely join Quinn initially before betraying him in the end for the drama. Garen and Reef usually teamed up, making them a possible threat. Bant would sit out at first, and then, considering the aquatic nature of this battle, definitely end the fight as soon as she deigned to participate. That meant they needed to act fast. "On my mark, charge. 3, 2. Together, without waiting for Obi-Wan to call out one, he and John lunged. "Pure Sabacc," Master Chara said, neatly laying out her cards. John had to cover a laugh when Mace started to curse. His best attempt was useless when the refined Master Dooku let out a filthy string of swears in Huttese. Master Tyvaka turned towards the other master with an incredibly judgmental look on his furry face. "Do you think that language is becoming of a prospective Grand Master?" Dooku stared the Wookiee down, stern mask already back in place. "A proper Grand Master teaches their Padawan to fleece a table at Sabacc. It's a matter of lineage pride." Obi-Wan coughed. "Yes, well," he said, and then laid down a perfect idiot's array. It was Master Tara's turn to curse, this time in Rodian. John was absolutely delighted by the new words he was learning, as well as the long-suffering look on Mace's face. Dooku's expression shifted right to smugness. "Excellent play, Grand Padawan." John enjoyed Obi-Wan turning bright red.
"For the last time, he's my Grand Padawan," Master Tyvaka growled.
"A venerable Jedi Master such as yourself is surely familiar with the concept of sharing," Dooku said, looking down his nose. Obi-Wan blushed even redder. John's friend slumped forward to smack his forehead directly into his cards. Deppa rested a hand on John's shoulder.
"Be glad you're not part of that mess," she stage whispered into his ear.
He snorted and ignored the betrayed glare Obi-Wan sent his way. Plo used the dramatics as a chance to sweep up all the cards in order to shuffle and deal out another round. He very carefully lifted Obi-Wan's head to remove the cards he was inadvertently pinning, and then ever so gently placed him back down. As John watched his lineage, his family, bicker around the table, it felt almost surreal. Only a year ago, he'd been suffering in the Outer Rim. A Padawan, maybe, but barely a person. John hadn't had a name, or a home, or a purpose, for all that Dark Woman was insistent that he did. He'd been the outline of a person, missing all the important shading that differentiated one being from the next. And now,
John had all of that. He had a name, common as it was, and it felt like him. He had a room to return to every day and night, where he could store his things, and it felt like home. He had a purpose, to learn and to trust the Force, and to trust himself, and to trust others, and it felt right. He belonged here, in the temple, as a Jedi, and not only as a nameless tool of the Force. "John, are you all right?" Obi-Wan asked. John blinked. Everyone else was holding their cards and looking at him expectantly. Except for Tyvaka, of course, who was making use of the opportunity to peek at Dooku's hand. John smiled. "Yes, I'm more than all right," he said. He picked up his cards, discreetly shielding them from his fellow players. "Just thinking about how I'm going to destroy you this round." "That's my Padawan," Mace said, nodding firmly. Obi-Wan rolled his eyes. "Maybe in a few decades," he said, smirking. John was all right with that prediction, because now they had all the time in the world. End of chapter 42.